You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had one long horn and one big eye. I commenced to shaking in the city. It looked like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned. All right, everybody, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program, Saturday evening, October the 29th, 2 days before Halloween, 10 days before the most remarkable election in the history of the Republic. It has to be. It has to be. And in addition to all that excitement, election around the corner, Halloween in 2 days, we were out at a corn maze today, we did a hayride. Got the kids' costumes. We went to a zoo boo last night where they dress up all the animals. We went to the Memphis Zoo and the zoo boo, little Halloween festivities they do. Really looking forward to taking the kids trick-or-treating. Election coming up. And in addition to all that, as if that wasn't enough excitement, it all started on this week in 2004, ladies and gentlemen. And what we typically do on the anniversary show is we spend the entire 3 hours of the live broadcast reflecting on past accomplishments and battles and favorite guests and behind-the-scenes moment. We normally trot out the entire staff and crew, some of our noteworthy guests, and everybody in between. We spend the whole 3 hours on the anniversary show each year just reveling in talking about the memories and experiences that we've had during the journey of this program from its inception to the current evening. But tonight we're not able to do that. We are going to spend a little time in the second hour doing that because I think it's important. But other than that, there's just too much going on. We don't even have time to celebrate 12 years on the air. October 26th, 2004 was the night it all began. And now here we are just past that date in the year 2016, 12 years on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for that. And we will reflect on highlights from those past 12 years of broadcasting while embracing the future with open arms with all of you in the second hour. But we have to continue on with coverage of this unbelievable election. Unbelievable. There have been so many twists, so many turns, so many sideshows, so many media manufactured stories, many of them featuring us, as you know, and then every now and then something legitimate happens. And for the director of the FBI to announce that he is reopening the investigation into Hillary Clinton yesterday, which would have been 11 days before the election, was a bombshell out of the blue that nobody could have anticipated. And if this wasn't something extremely urgent, they would have sat on it, written it out, or perhaps reopened it after the election. But for them to reopen this thing 11 days before the election means there is something in there that could not wait. We hear now that Uma Abedin is in hiding. According to the FBI, this did not involve Russia or WikiLeaks. They have announced that. So whatever they found was a hot potato. I wish we knew what that was. Hopefully we'll find out. What I'd really like to see is that witch arrested between now and Election Day. Oh. My God, please let that happen. Oh, Eddie the Bombardier Miller in the studio with me.
You know, James, I'd just like to say briefly, say you said about the anniversary show. It seems surreal how long we've been on this show. It seemed like another lifetime ago. Thank God we're still here. But time, hey, we've got to roll. You got to, we have to roll. You know, James, I've been watching, the liberal media, and they're portraying the FBI coming out like it's some kind of a low blow. And, you know, like, you should, how dare you talk about this before the election? Okay, what if you had a Stalin or a Lenin? What if Jeffrey Dahmer was running for president and you found out he was a serial killer? Liberal media, would you want the FBI to sit on that and wait until Jeffrey Dahmer become president? I mean, how ridiculous
well,
is that?
Well, of course, when the FBI exonerated her a couple of months ago, they praised the FBI for doing their job and for making the right decisions. But now when the FBI believes it is the right decision to do their job in this capacity, of course, it's nothing but scathing remarks and condemnation from the Hillary Clinton campaign. But this could.
They've lost all credibility.
This could turn everything around. They spent their wad having these paid actresses come on and pretend that Donald Trump groped them all 10-plus years ago. That has basically been absorbed into the fabric of this election cycle. And now, 10 days out, it's going to be hard to imagine another bombshell dropping that's going to take this off the front of people's minds. Republicans are coming back home now as a result of this. The criminal corruption of the Clintons will not stop. And this reminds everyone why Hillary Clinton is so distrusted and disliked. She is just a career criminal, a sociopath. And let's just give – listen, here's the thing about Trump. Give him a chance. If he is what everybody thinks he is, if he's a clown, if he's a buffoon, if he's not good for this country, he's gone in 4 years. If Hillary Clinton gets in there, the Republic is gone forever. That's just the bottom line.
You know, James, I have to wonder, and I'm serious. I'm very serious. I could not be more serious. I have to wonder, with this latest FBI coming out, they're going to reopen the case. James, I have to wonder who is going to be murdered now. The alleged murders of the Clintons, it's just an endless list. There's been, God only knows, what, 200-300 people since going back to the 80s have been murdered that could pose as some type of a threat to the Clintons in their career. I see where, I don't know if we talked about it last week, you know, my memory is, but we talked about the WikiLeaks people, one of those people dying. We talked about an attorney for Julian Assange dying, being killed. I mean, people are dropping like flies. I mean, it's just never ends. The documentation is out there, out the yang yang. These people, when you get on the bad side of Hillary and Bill, you die. And they like we talked about this on the show before, James, they don't care if it's somebody like Vince Foster that grew up with Bill for years, knowing him, I guess, when he's a teenager. It doesn't matter. They will kill you if you're a threat to them, James. So I'm wondering if who's going to go down.
Well, do they kill you? Certainly we can't say that. But it is a coincidence that so many people who cross the Clintons end up dead. Who was it? Seth Rich, Mark Rich, the DNC. And the big thing is we should be able to get investigations into some of these bizarre deaths of people who have challenged the Clintons. And
well, what they have, let me tell you this. There has been many. Yeah, well, we have tried to get investigations, but there's been many, many investigators.
It's
have
like getting,
also bit the dust.
It's like
murdered.
Al Capone going down for not paying his income tax if Hillary Clinton is finally brought down by emails. I mean, that's really the best way you can liken it. But I couldn't have been happier yesterday. Not because I hate her, although I do hate everything she stands for. I believe she is a criminally corrupt, evil woman. This is good for the nation. I don't know what miracle of God compelled James Comey to reopen this investigation 11 days before the election. But when the news and everything cranks back up on Monday, I think we will see more statements and more of this will come to light. More details will be presented to the public.
Such a nasty one.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Well, my family is a very interesting family because we're what you would call a stable family. My family doesn't smoke or drink because my mother brought me up in a Christian home. I guess that's what kind of has kept me straight because I've always looked up to the Lord.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
My parents always taught me, you know, the difference between right and wrong. They always taught me that smoking isn't right because physically it's not good for you, and also mentally it affects you. And they always taught, always try to do the right thing because things catch up to you in life sooner or later. I think kids learn behavior patterns from their parents because they're the people that they mostly see. They're the people who we love and respect. So the people who you love the most and respect the most from is who you tend to take things from.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right. Well, maybe the FBI is going to put a spell on Hillary that even that witch can't overcome. Let's talk with Keith Alexander. Keith Alexander is out of town tonight, but he wanted to call in this evening to be part of the first hour. And, well, anyway, Keith, we opened up the show, of course, talking about this bombshell revelation that the FBI is reopening the investigation against Hillary Clinton a week and a half before the election. Now, you are familiar with the law. You would have to reason that there is something absolutely unbelievable that they've uncovered that would cause them to do that so near Election Day. What are your thoughts on that, Keith? I don't think they would take the chance otherwise. I think it's just something so hot they've got to go fast. What do you think, Keith?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think also that James Comey has signed his death warrant if Clinton is elected. I mean that figuratively, not literally, but I mean he's through with the FBI and with government, federal governmental employment, if Trump isn't elected. Now, what I think is really going on here, I don't think this is going to sway Clinton voters, but what it is going to do is solidify the conservative branch of the Republican Party that has put such an emphasis on these emails and bring them into the fold to vote for Trump. And that's not insignificant. That's you know, as far as people that are still possibly on the fence, I'd say they're one of the larger contingents. So it's a good development for Trump, but, you know, we're facing massive voter fraud from the Democrats. I told you about last Saturday when I took some out-of-town visitors by Elmwood Cemetery in Memphis, and they had it closed.
That's right.
And they had a guy in the golf cart standing at the bridge gate, and we asked him whether they were holding a Democratic voter registration drive, and he just fell apart laughing. That's what we face in urban centers throughout America that have large minority populations. Dead people vote, empty lots vote, and, you know, that's just baked into the cake. That's why in the last debate there was such a uproar about Trump not saying that he would just accept the results of the election, because they knew they had massive voter fraud plans.
Right, Keith, hold on right there. I don't know if we can play this clip or if Sam even has it queued up, but he played it on his program talking about rigging the elections. There was something that came out, Hillary Clinton, in her own words, talking about rigging elections in the Middle East. Now, this is far more serious than anything to do with emails. You just triggered it, talking about rigged elections, Keith. So Sam has this pulled up. Listen to this, everybody. This is going to drop your jaws if you haven't heard this already. Not very good audio, but this is Hillary Clinton in her own words. Pay attention and listen closely.
Have troubled me deeply. I do not think we should have pushed for an election in the Palestinian territories. I think that was a big mistake. And if we were going to push for an election, then we should have made sure that we did something to determine who was going to win.
All right, so if you could hear that, Hillary Clinton says if we're going to have an election in Palestinian territories, we need to make sure we do something to control who's going to win, is basically what she said. So you're talking about that has to be some sort of impeachable offense to just flat out say, hey, if we're going to let people in other countries have elections, the American government needs to make sure we control who wins. That's just flat out as brazen, dead to rights as you can get. So if they will rig the elections in other countries, why wouldn't they try to rig an election in America? But I tell you, Keith, that all of this stuff, Hillary Clinton is reminding people a week and a half out before Election Day why people absolutely detest her, why she doesn't have any enthusiasm in the Democratic Party. The Chicago Tribune, hardly a bastion of conservative thought, the Chicago Tribune today had a featured article saying the Democrats need to ask Hillary Clinton to drop out. That's the Chicago Tribune. That's her own backers in the media saying this. And certainly, we don't even know the cause for this reopening of the investigation. That could drop next week and make things 10 times worse. Trump was already gaining in the polls. I tell you, it has been, the Washington Post summed it up with this, what an absolutely remarkable election. That's just all they could say. This election has had more twists and turns. Hollywood couldn't script something this unbelievable, but it's all too real. And it seems as though Trump has a new lease on life just in the nick of time. So, I'll let you respond to that, Keith, and then I'll go to something else.
Well, I think that there's undoubtedly massive Democratic voter fraud that has been planned and scripted for months, if not, you know, a year, to make sure that Hillary gets this election. Now, we have a wild card in this election, something that the conservatives or the Republicans have not had ever before, and that's the possibility of voter fraud on our side, which miraculously has nothing to do with Trump or the Republican Party. That would be Russian hackers or foreign hackers of some sort. And, you know, quite frankly, if that happened, it would probably just balance the scales out, because the mainstream media mind benders have more or less told and signaled to the American people, yes, there's going to be left-wing voter fraud going on. So what? Get over it. It's just part and parcel of the Democratic constituency. They're third-world people. They engage in third-world activities like corruption in government and voter fraud in elections.
Well, I think what you said the other day, sort of a tongue-in-cheek thing, was, yeah, there's the you're going to get the standard part and parcel election fraud from the Democrats if the Russians and all of these people say Russia, Russia, Russia. Of course, there's no evidence that Russia's done anything wrong, and Hillary Clinton was entirely reckless in even insinuating that in the last debate. Well, you were joking, saying, well, if Russia does try to rig the election, it'll just counterbalance what the Democrats do every year, naturally. Eddie?
You know, I would like to chime in on that. We talked about this last week. You know, it's not the Russians It's not the Russians we have to worry about or anybody else hacking our elections. The CIA and the NSA are the ones that are doing all the hacking. They've been monitoring every cell phone, every email, every text message, and they are the ones that have access to the voting machines. Guess who owns about
20%? We know
George
that.
Soros.
Yeah. We talked about
the
that
Russians,
last week.
That's a red herring that the Democrats have put out. I would put zero credence in the Russians.
I agree, but I'll tell you, the FBI came through for the American people with this stunning revelation. But I'll tell you, you will certainly have the media. I was joking with Keith yesterday. I said, well, we can count now.
Amen.
On 12 new articles about how racist the political cesspool is to try to take the heat off Hillary. And then, of course, the last one where I was referred to as a virulent white supremacist 7 times in 5 sentences. I mean, this is where we're at. So I think we're going to see an uptick in articles bashing the political cesspool, Sam Bushman, Liberty News Radio, anything they can do to try to divert. But I think they've done that so much, it's just fallen on deaf ears. It's gone beyond parody. And maybe this is a modern-day miracle. If God can deliver against all odds, against all of the establishment, against all of the media, everything, and Trump can win, that makes the parting of the Red Sea pale in comparison. And,
I agree.
Keith, we just have a few seconds before break. I want to give you the last word of this one, and then we'll go to commercial and come back with you.
Well, it's like I said when we talked the other day, that this is the make-or-break election. If we don't win this election, it doesn't matter. If we win it in 4 years, we're never going to win it in 4 years because Hillary is going to let enough third worlders in and grant them amnesty, which means they can vote in the next presidential election.
In other That's words, right.
The Republicans and more importantly, the representatives of the founding stock of America will have absolutely no chance of winning an election. Like I said,
we got to go. We'll be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Two Portland-area residents have received a steady stream of abuse from others living in that conspicuously progressive city for driving a car with a vanity license plate that reads Trump. The car's owner reports being the recipient of vulgar language, mean looks, flipping me off, that kind of thing. All of this began months ago, coinciding with Donald Trump's emergence as the Republican presidential frontrunner and then as the party's nominee. This is, in fact, a coincidence because the license plate is not a political statement. The car's owner is Brian Trump. I thought it would be cool to have my name on there. Proud of the name, Mr. Trump told a local NBC affiliate. The plates are actually 9 years old. His wife has her own version of the plates, which has led to 3 confrontations in which she was intimidated by male strangers who took offense. Nonetheless, Trump insists, I'm sticking with it. I'm not going to let someone bully me out of my plate. He will make one small concession by displaying a custom-made bumper sticker that explains, it's my last name, and I've got better hair. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. Addressing a rally for Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump in Little Haiti, Florida, former Haitian Senate President Bernard Sansarik accused Bill Clinton of offering him a bribe to support the 1994 UN-mandated U.S. invasion that reinstated Marxist President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who had been deposed in a military coup. According to Sansarik, his urgent message prompted a visit from an anonymous messenger who encouraged him to support the invasion, promising that afterwards he would be the richest man in Haiti. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, 2 days before Halloween, and here we are, 10 days before the election. I actually had the honor of appearing on Sam Bushman's show on October the 26th, which was the 12 years to the day of us starting the political cesspool. Tonight, we're going to do a little bit of remembrance in the second hour, looking back on 12 years. We normally do 3 full hours of the anniversary show on the Saturday nearest our actual anniversary date. We can't do that this week because of the campaign. And one of the things I was talking about, the reason I shared that story, is that when I was on the Liberty Roundtable with Sam a couple of days ago, we were talking about this Tim Kaine event in South Florida. Now, this is a Democratic stronghold, South Florida, and they've been pumping in tens of millions of dollars in publicity and advertising and all of that stuff in to Florida. And Tim Kaine had a rally that drew 30 people. To compare that, when I was in Michigan a couple of weeks ago, I had 50 people. All right, in Michigan, and I certainly don't have the budget to advertise
one
my appearances.
One by landslide, man.
Like this. But anyway, and it was an interesting conversation because the local Sun Sentinel newspaper portrayed this as just some raucous crowd that was there for Kaine, but there was someone with a video camera taking a wide shot angle. 30 people during his speech. The most incredible thing ever. No enthusiasm for Clinton. None. And the reason why there is so much populism and populistic enthusiasm behind Trump is that he gets it. When he makes statements like, if you challenge them, they will call you a racist. They will call you a sexist. They will call you a bigot. They will try to ruin you. Nobody knows that better than us here on this radio program.
He can write racism.
Nobody knows that better.
Racism. He can wrote it.
Nobody knows that better than us. And he's right. And here's this clip, and I want to get Keith and Eddie's response to it. This clip, it's called Trump the Establishment. It's the most incredibly succinct 5-minute clip, an argument of why you must vote for Trump in his own words. Listen to this. He gets it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's play it.
Our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. The Washington establishment and the financial and media corporations that fund it exist for only one reason: to protect and enrich itself. The establishment has trillions of dollars at stake in this election. For those who control the levers of power in Washington and for the global special interest, they partner with these people that don't have your good in mind. Our campaign represents a true existential threat like they haven't seen before. This is not simply another 4-year election. This is a crossroads in the history of our civilization that will determine whether or not we, the people, reclaim control over our government. The political establishment that is trying to stop us is the same group responsible for our disastrous trade deals, massive illegal immigration, and economic and foreign policies that have bled our country dry. The political establishment has brought about the destruction of our factories and our jobs as they flee to Mexico, China, and other countries all around the world. It's a global power structure that is responsible for the economic decisions that have robbed our working class, stripped our country of its wealth, and put that money into the pockets of a handful of large corporations and political entities. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation. And this will be our last chance to save it. This election will determine whether we are a free nation or whether we have only the illusion of democracy, but are in fact controlled by a small handful of global special interests rigging the system, and our system is rigged. This is reality. You know it, they know it, I know it, and pretty much the whole world knows it. The Clinton machine is at the center of this power structure. We've seen this firsthand in the WikiLeaks documents in which Hillary Clinton meets in secret with international banks to plot the destruction of U.S. sovereignty in order to enrich these global financial powers, her special interest friends, and her donors. Honestly, she should be locked up. The most powerful weapon deployed by the Clintons is the corporate media, the press. Let's be clear on one thing. The corporate media in our country is no longer involved in journalism. They're a political special interest, no different than any lobbyist or other financial entity with a total political agenda. And the agenda is not for you, it's for themselves. Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe. They will lie, 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 and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals, remember that. This is well documented, and the establishment that protects them has engaged in a massive cover-up of widespread criminal activity at the State Department and the Clinton Foundation in order to keep the Clintons in power. They knew they would throw every lie they could at me and my family and my loved ones. They knew they would stop at nothing to try to stop me. Nevertheless, I take all of these slings and arrows gladly for you. I take them for our movement so that we can have our country back. I knew this day would arrive. It's only a question of when. And I knew the American people would rise above it and vote for the future they deserve. The only thing that can stop this corrupt machine is you. The only force strong enough to save our country is us. The only people brave enough to vote out this corrupt establishment is you, the American people. Our great civilization has come upon a moment of reckoning. I didn't need to do this, folks, believe me. I built a great company and I had a wonderful life. I could have enjoyed the fruits and benefits of years of successful business deals and businesses for myself and my family instead of going through this absolute horror show of lies, deceptions, malicious attacks. Who would have thought? I'm doing it because this country has given me so much and I feel so strongly that it's my turn to give back to the country that I love. I'm doing this for the people and for the movement, and we will take back this country for you, and we will make America great again.
All right, folks. I hesitated to play that because it was a little bit lengthy and it took away time from Keith this hour, but I think it was worth every second. That is one hell of a closing argument for Donald Trump. If you don't think that he understands what's going on behind the scenes and what the mechanisms of power are in Washington, I think that is the case. If you can't vote for him after that, then there's just no reason for us to continue to try to make the case for you. Keith, we're about to go to break. I want Eddie to chime in on this as well. Your reaction to that clip from Donald Trump.
The only thing I could add to it is racial angle. Quite frankly, globalism wants to equalize incomes throughout the planet, and there's a big impediment to doing that. That's the existence of white nations. White nations do better. They're more prosperous, and we will not equalize with the third world. So The globalist solution to this problem is to end white nations by pumping third worlders who are brown and black into our nations so that we are no longer identifiably white nations. That will have dire consequences for the white people in those nations. If you don't think so, just look what has happened to the former Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, and South Africa. That's what the future holds for us if we don't stand like Horatio at the bridge at this election and win it. I remember back in the late 50s and early 60s when I was a child, the John Birch Society said, beware the one-worlders who think there is no reason Americans should live any better than Ecuadorians. That's the way they look at it. They look at America's big middle class and say, how dare these people, these white knuckleheads, think they ought to live better than third-world people. We'll show them. They're going to get your wealth and concentrate in the hands of a new global elite. That's what the plan is, and the plan is definitely and distinctly anti-white.
All right, Keith, that's an excellent angle, and I appreciate you infusing that into the political cesspool tonight. We've got one more segment this hour. I want to get Eddie's response to the Donald Trump clip as soon as we come back, and then Keith's going to share some of his favorite moments, as this is an anniversary show, too, in this next segment. We don't want you to miss that. Stay tuned.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Go!
Eddie picked that one for tonight's musical enjoyment. All right, welcome back. Political cesspool. James Edwards, Eddie the Bobbiter Miller in studio. Keith Alexander calling in from the road this evening, and we only have Keith for one more segment. I would like to say very quickly, David Duke qualified for the Louisiana Senate debate. He was one of, I believe, six candidates who met the polling threshold to be invited to a televised debate in Louisiana on Tuesday. Now, that would be worth the price of admission. We'll have an article up about that next week. But that clip you just heard from Donald Trump, Trump the establishment, is how I listed it on our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can watch that video for yourself and share it with your friends and family 10 days before the election. Keith rightly brought up that Trump did not mention the racial angle, nor did we expect him to. That is something they just won't do. That's something that probably should be worked on. It was the people and the principles that made this country great. And you can't separate the two. The principles, the ideas, the rule of law, freedom of speech, freedom of association. Well, we used to have that. Second Amendment. All of that stuff came from a distinct people. And, of course, those were our people, our European forebears. And so, yes, it would have been better. Keith rightly brings that out, if we could talk honestly about that. But that's not where we are right now, at least outside of this radio program. But, Eddie, your thoughts and reaction to the Donald Trump video, and then I want Keith to weigh in on some of his favorite moments because this is our last segment with him.
Well, I'll like just come out right quickly and defend my man Trump. I really and truly don't know what more he could do. I think we tend to try to get too pure sometimes because he has said many times that the illegal aliens coming in this country is ruining our workforce. They're ruining our industry. They're helping to manipulate the vote, you know, with the voter fraud. And he said he's going to build a fence. He's even hinted about deportations. You know, he's for rule of law, rule of law and order. According to the Constitution, all men were created equal under the law. As far as being a total American, I don't know what more he could do unless he come out and said, hey, I'm going to revive the Klan. You know, so I will support him all the way. I don't think he could do any more. Secondly, everything he hit upon in that speech of his has happened before. If you go back to the 1100 Charter of Liberties in England, you know, we trace our genealogy of the Constitution. This country here is just old hat. Our Declaration of Independence was just a repeat of the five documents previously in England. The, like I said, the 1100 Charter of Liberties, the Grand Remonstrance, you know, the Magna Carta of 1215. In each and every case, when the people of England, when the people have got enough in England, they went and had the king made them sign these agreements. And I would like to point this out. In every case, the king signed the documents at the point of us with the point of a sword in his throat. Well, you know, everything that Donald Trump complained about in his speech, he hit on every crime he pointed out has happened before. It's happening right here. We see history repeating itself. And I hope, and I'm like you, James, and like you, Keith, I pray to God that Donald Trump can win. You know, if he doesn't, maybe our country's just under judgment. Back to you, my brother Keith.
And, of course, I know all of the scribes for the press are feverishly and hysterically writing that you said revive the Klan. Of course, that was rhetorical hyperbole, and I think that should go without saying. But just to put it on the record there before I read the next headline about how racist we are.
Well, I just think we expect too much.
Well, no, you know. Right. You're just saying, I mean, how far does he have to go?
Yeah,
he certainly hasn't been as explicit as this program would like on some things. But as far as a major presidential candidate would be, there's none like him. Yeah. There's never been one like him. And in fact, he's even had some more pointed rhetoric than even Buchanan had, at least in some of his campaigns. Buchanan wrote very frankly about race in his books. But in his campaigns, I don't think Buchanan's rhetoric was any more to the right than a lot that we've seen with Donald Trump. Is it what I would say, or you would say, or Keith would say? No, it's not as that good, but it's good. All right, anyway, so we're all in agreement on that. Keith, we are going to be spending the second hour looking back while looking forward, if that makes sense. It's been 12 years that we've been together. You've been on this show, and certainly one of the greatest days in the history of this program was when Keith Alexander became a fully sanctioned co-host of this program, and what he brings to us each week with his encyclopedic knowledge and his unique personality. I think we really have a balance in terms of the different personalities of this program between myself and Eddie and Keith and Scoop and Sean and Jim Lancia. I mean, everybody has a different knack, and it just, you put them together and you've got a synthesis. Well, Keith's been with us not since day one, but pretty darn near close, certainly the majority of our run. Keith, as you reflect on 12 years of this program, what are some of the things that jump out in terms of guests, in terms of substance, things we've accomplished, behind-the-scenes stories? When you look back on 12 years, what's your most vivid memories? No, hey, Keith is responding. Keith is responding. He's coming in a little light, though. All right, Keith, can you say that again? We had you piped down. Go, Keith.
Okay. I was saying this, that I remember our comrade and colleague, Bill Rowland, and how much he added to the program and what a devastating loss it was when we lost him too soon to cancer. I remember when our program went off the air briefly for several months, and we were pronounced dead and moribund and never to come back by the Southern Poverty Law Center, but then we gathered our strength and rose again and haven't faltered since then. And one of the high points is, James, your ability to get press credentials and to broadcast from the Republican National Convention this year.
That was something that happened just this year. Yes.
We've been laying that groundwork for 12 years, and it's finally paying off. Our views are now getting into the mainstream more than ever before. Of course, a lot of that has to do with James and with Sam and with this network, but basically, we haven't been toiling in vain. We are now part of the national conversation. Thanks to Sam, thanks to James, thanks to everybody on the cesspool staff. And I don't see anything except more and more influence coming our way, and who knows what it will lead to.
Excellent, excellent, excellent observation, Brother Keith.
Well, Keith, I appreciate you saying everything you said. And, in fact, you reminded me of something that I had even forgotten. You know, certainly this show has been broadcast continuously for 12 years without pause, except for, you're right, back in, I believe it was the early months of 2008, we ceased live production for about 2 or 3 months. We were still on the air, still broadcasting. We were just airing repeats because of the workload involved. And then we retooled from a nightly show to a weekly show. We got syndicated by RBN and then the Liberty News Radio Network, and the rest is history. So, yes, it's been 12 years from October 26, 2004 to the present evening. Continuously, except for 2 or 3 months where we were broadcasting repeats, and then we came back with live productions, and then the rest is history. But yes, that was a memory that I'd forgotten about, and that was an important decision. But you also brought up something quite touching in that we always talk about what a family we are, what brothers we are, and how we share that familial bond with our audience. And certainly we have gone through all of the triumphs and trials and tribulations that any family would do, including the loss of family members and losing Bill Rowland a few years ago. What an integral part of the show he was. And to have lost that, but to have endured that and continued on in his honor and the legacy of Bill Rowland still coming out every week. We have shared every emotion that anybody could share with each other and with our audience at large, from deaths to rebirths and triumphs and defeats and great guests and laughs and tears, and it all goes into the fabric of what this program is, and blood, sweat, and tears have certainly been baked into everything, and I think that really comes out in each broadcast, just how real and sincere and genuine our fellowship is. But Keith, thinking back on guests, any that stand out to you? I mean, that's such a difficult question because we've had hundreds of incredible guests of all different stripes, of all different issues, but surely there are some that are your favorites.
Cannon, of course, comes at the top of the list as far as I'm concerned. Brother Nathaniel Kapner is great. That was kind of, I guess, Bill Rowland's favorite, and he's, I think, become your favorite after Bill's passing.
Well, one of them for sure, sure.
Paul Gottfried. We've had William Lind. We've had Jared Taylor numerous times. Kevin McDonald is a great guest. See, we're giving voice to voices that otherwise aren't found on radio. And this has basically, we laid the framework, the foundation for the alt-right and its rise over the past couple of years. We were like the old song, we were country when country wasn't cool. And we basically set a foundation that others have built upon, and the whole alt-right movement is gaining more and more influence and more listenership. And quite frankly, I think this program and the work of you, Bill, Eddie, all of you preceded me on this program, and me and then the people that have come on recently, like Jim Lantia, Sean Bergen, Scoot Stanton, all of these people have done a remarkable job in mainstreaming ideas previously taboo.
Keith, and nobody does it better than you. You don't give yourself enough credit, but we all do our part. You do an incredible part. We're out of time this hour. Enjoy the rest of your trip. We'll see you next week. Everybody else, stay tuned. Second hour coming right up. Love you, Keith.